We're continuing our journey through the Gospel of Luke. Here's a reading from Luke chapter 8. One day, Jesus told a story to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil, and this seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand."
Good morning, friends. My name is Dave, and I'm on the pastoral team here at Living Waters, and so happy to be continuing to share from the Gospel of Luke series, specifically from Luke chapter 8. If you've been around for any length of time at Living Waters, we really value Story Sundays. And perhaps as I begin today, I want to talk a little bit about my story, and then I want to ask you a little bit about your story. Well, actually, it's a part of my story that involves me and my Bible. Me and my Bible. Because I want to talk to you about your Bible in just a couple minutes. I remember growing up in Sunday school from the earliest of ages. When we were able to sing in Sunday school, I remember being asked regularly to sing a song about my Bible. It was, "Read your Bible and pray every day," and we had to do the actions. And you'll grow, grow, grow. I don't even know what that meant. And then we always had to sing the second verse. It was, "Don't read your Bible and don't pray every day," and you had to do the actions, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Accompanying the singing was the messaging, regular messaging from Sunday school teachers and pastors and parents. You need to read your Bible every day. So how did that go, honestly? I remember as a teen and in my early young adult years, having pride, actually, in my ability to most often be able to check the box. Read your Bible, check. Pray, check. But I want to be honest. Story Sundays are always honest. Deep inside my mind, deep inside my heart, was this looming question. And probably the question still looms a bit today. Back in my earlier years, the question never found an ask because I was a little too ashamed to admit it. The question that always loomed was, what difference does it make? Or is what I'm reading actually having any difference at all in my life? And the unfortunate thing was, no. Bible reading, check, was actually having very little difference in my life, other than having the benefit of a daily habit, which is a very good thing. The actual engagement of Bible reading was having very little influence in my life whatsoever. I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you my story. I was introduced early to a verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and it reads this way. "For the word of God is living and it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit and of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." While never really experiencing this, maybe from time to time, I longed for that. I still do. So fast forward, Story Sunday, what about now? I still try to read my Bible and pray every day. I'm reading right now from the book of Ephesians. I just finished Galatians, and prior to that, the two books written to the church in Corinth. I try not to be hard on myself The more I get to know this guy, the more I realize I am drawn to words like the activity of God or the work of God. And I'm less drawn to the sitting and stillness required to appreciate and understand the Word of God. I'm just being honest. I do know that I benefit more and more and more in my personal journey, in my spiritual formation, when I quiet myself and I humble myself and I actually listen to hear the Word of God spoken through the reading and reciting from my Bible. I've also benefited from the words of Charles Spurgeon, who says, "Nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and it deepens with us over the years." That's true. That's true. The roominess of the Word of God. So I have purposely begun my sharing today with telling a bit of my story. What about your story? What about your relationship with your Bible? It's important to start talking personally because in Luke chapter 8, in that parable that Luke read earlier, and I seek to point us to as well, we have to get personal because it's a personal parable. Large crowds had gathered around Jesus. He'd been teaching and sharing and traveling for many years, and large crowds by this time were following him. And Jesus's two big ideas about being responsive and responsible to his words were this. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus says, "I want you to pay attention to how you hear." And in verse 21, a prophetic promise. "My friends," or "my family, is made up of people that hear my word and obey my word." It's quite obvious that Jesus wasn't talking about read your Bible and pray every day. Rather, Jesus was saying, "Hear my word and obey my word, and you'll grow, grow, grow." More than the difference of words. Nothing to do with semantics. See, there's a difference between reading and hearing. Jesus is referring to hearing, not reading. I always try to have a fictional novel on the go. My wife, Julie, she outreads me 7 books to 1 easily. My problem is I can have a novel in my hand and I can read it and turn a page and turn a page and complete a chapter and then have a moment of realizing I have no idea what I just read. Maybe that's just me. I'm getting a witness out there. Hearing and reading are very, very different. And Jesus in Luke chapter 8, again, he's not talking about reading. He's talking about hearing. And in order to help people come to terms with their ability to hear, he tells a parable. Now, the natural tendency is for the audience to critique the speaker, right? It's true. You may even be doing that right now. But in this passage of Scripture, the speaker is critiquing the audience. Very, very different perspective. And so here the speaker, Jesus, is asking the audience to consider what they've been hearing as he's been speaking. And so Jesus very personally uses a parable. It's a farming parable, and illustrates how a farmer would cast seed and it would land on the ground. Very similarly, Jesus is comparing to how he's been traveling and he's been sharing his word and it's been landing in the hearts and lives of people in very, very different ways. In terms of the parable, Jesus says the farmer is sowing seed and that this seed is landing on either a hard path, rocky ground, thorny ground or good ground? Well, what's the differences? So the hard path, the seed that lands upon hard path. Well, this person allows perhaps no room for the word in their lives. The Bible never seems to be real or relevant to them. That this person, for this person, the word never enters the mind, and let alone the heart. The Bible is simply a book not considered. At best, this person may listen or read, but never hear the word of God for themselves. It's a hard path that exists in the world today. A hard path. The heart of a hard path. Secondly, Jesus, in his parable, identifies the rocky ground. These are the ones that hear the word, the Bible, perhaps a good sermon, receive with joy, yet the word is never given the time or the meditation needed to take any root or ever have any lasting influence. So before too long, the person has moved on and has left behind the word that was relevant to them just moments before. You may hear that person say, "Man, the Bible's just getting far too close for me. It's getting too personal. The Bible's asking too much. It knows too much." And when sensing the Bible calling for any type of accountability or application, they tap out. They head for the hills. The seed never able to take root. You might hear that person say that the cost is too great. I'm prepared to follow some of the word, but not all of the word. I'm going to have to tap out because there's too many, it's rocky ground. There's too many rocks to lift to allow the word of God to find a permanent landing place. Then Jesus talks about the thorny ground. These are the people that when hearing the word, the Bible, forget what they hear quickly. Because of these types of thorns that grow up, perhaps illustrated by preset opinions, attitudes, questions that never been answered, preferences, perhaps lists of ways in which God has been misunderstood or not appreciated, and it just creates thorns in the ground. Perhaps persistent lifestyle choices or pride, hurts, pain, bitterness, relationships, personal goals that are obstructed. It's thorny ground. There's all kinds of conflict. It's thorny ground. And so the seed is never able to be considered for long because there's too much conflict in the ground, in the heart of the person. And then finally, there's good ground. Thank goodness there's good ground. Now, what should be noticed about these four types of ground is the difference is never in the seed. The difference is always in the soil. And so this parable says, for some, the seed is able to fall upon good ground. Characteristics of this good ground are described as those people that listen to hear to understand, understand to apply, and apply to obey. And because of obedience, are producing a huge godly harvest. Good ground. It's possible for our story, for our narrative, for our relationship with our Bible to be summarized with good ground. So by choosing to teach this way, Jesus is asking the audience, and because we're talking about it today, he's asking us to find ourselves in this parable. Hard path, rocky ground, thorny ground, or good ground? The answer to that question is personal, and it's up for us to answer. In some ways, perhaps to understand this parable, we would understand this parable as that which forms a hearing test. I was on my computer this week, and an ad popped up for a free hearing test. And so click, 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 and before I knew it, I was involved in a free hearing test. Stick your earbuds in, put them on, and all of a sudden, before I knew it, I was involved in a hearing test. And before long, I had the results, and it was quite humorous. To summarize my results, at least my summary came out as, not bad for a person your age. There's a little bit of good, and there's a little bit of an ouch all at once in the report of my hearing test. Jesus is presenting this parable and the application of this parable by way of a hearing test. How you doing by being a hearer of God's word? Hard path, rocky ground, thorny ground, good ground. So which one of these do you find yourself in today? Wherever you are, you don't have to stay there, but you need to know where you're starting from. And that's actually the good benefit of this parable today. In this chapter 8, one of the verses that is often missed is verse 9, where it says, after hearing the parable, Jesus' disciples asked Jesus what this parable meant. Notice, when the disciples asked Jesus to help them, he explained the parable in a way that they understood. Replying in verse 10, again, Luke chapter 8, verse 10, Jesus to his disciples, you are permitted to understand the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of God. There's a big idea here. The disciples needed help to understand the word of God. So do I, and so do you. And so Jesus gave his disciples the insight that they didn't have themselves. An inability to understand without Christ's help the mysteries, the secrets, depending on your translation, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And Jesus uses the word mysteries for a reason. The Bible isn't something that you and I can figure out on our own. Jesus, in other passages, says, hey, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My plans are not your plans. My will is not your will. And so when we find ourselves stepping into the word of God, we need to be aware of that. And so it was the case in Luke chapter 8 where the disciples said, hey, we're not understanding this, Jesus. Can you help us? What a beautiful, gracious answer that Jesus gave. Let me help you. And that would be the invitation that Jesus gives you today as well. Let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you understand. Yeah, you and I can pick up the Bible and we can pick up some basics, but our discipleship journey in Scripture will be quite limited without the help of the Holy Spirit. There's a principle for us to understand here. Understanding the Bible is a gift, and understanding is given to those who ask. Peter was affirmed this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17, when Jesus said to Peter, hey, you're blessed, Simon Peter, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Friends, I think there's a reason, perhaps even statistically, that the majority of people that live in the Fraser Valley are very foreign in their relationship to the Bible. There'd be all kinds of reasons, priorities, busyness, schedules that play in. But perhaps one of the greatest reasons is because when people read the Bible, they don't get anything out of it. And many are too ashamed to admit it. If that's you today, then that can change. That can change for you today. Back to my story. In my younger years, I can't ever remember asking God to help me understand the Bible. That's hard to admit, but it's mostly true. I can recall just being told, sit and read, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Didn't really happen, at least not to my knowledge. I missed the big idea. Perhaps this is why Bible reading was never more than a personal discipline for me, and at best never became part of my personal discipleship. Allow me to share three thoughts with you about being a hearer of God's word and not just a reader. The first idea would be this: change your language. I want to encourage you, number one, don't use ever again the words, read your Bible. Just a thought. Perhaps we could replace it with hear the Bible. Hear the Bible. Because that's what Luke chapter 8 is talking about. Be a hearer of the word. Secondly, always begin your hearing time in the word with prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you, lead you to truth. Don't try to do it on your own. You're not smart enough, and you are never created to be smart enough. The Holy Spirit can help you. And thirdly, forget quantity and go for quality. It's not about reading. It's about hearing. So as you hear the word of God, perhaps you will best discover the hearing of God's word as you write the word, as you memorize a verse, as you speak the word out loud, as you sing the word, as you pray the word, or perhaps as you picture the word. There's no right or wrong way. The big idea and the big responsibility is to be a hearer of the word. And friends, we're either doing it or we're not. That's what the parable says. Hard ground, rocky ground, thorny ground, or good ground. Good ground is established and cultivated through the hearing of God's word. And as you practice hearing, perhaps you'd ask these questions. Number one, what's going on in my hearing? As you sit with the word, and as you process, and as you consider what is being said, ask simple questions. Gather the facts. Who, what, where, and when? And ask yourself, what don't I understand? The key here is don't pretend that you know. Authenticity is a value of Living Waters Church, and that has to land within our Bible hearing. Don't pretend you know if you don't. This type of Bible observation and hearing doesn't have to be some drawn-out, long, tedious experience. Be a hearer of God's word. And again, go for quality, not quantity. Secondly, what does it mean? The big clue in Scripture, hearing, is no matter where you turn, the Bible's always about Jesus. You ask, well, what about the Old Testament? Yes, in the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed. In the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. So look for the redemptive story of Christ as you consider what the Bible means. It's a good book with good news. And lastly, what does it mean to me? This is where many people tap out a little too quickly, and because of that, find themselves with growing hard ground, growing thorny ground, growing rocky ground. What does it mean to me? I once heard it said, apply yourself wholly to the Scriptures, and then apply the Scriptures wholly to yourself. It's good advice. See, in these first two stages, you're considering in your hearing. You're considering the text. What is it? What's going on? And what does it mean? And the third question, We are asking and allowing the text to study you, or you're allowing the text to study yourself. Hence the word application. And again, this is where many people tap out. And we don't need to tap out as we consider that final question. What does, in the hearing of God's word, what does it mean to me today? You will find that in the hearing of the Bible, that it's personal. The Bible's personal. It's a love letter written to you about you and about Jesus. It was written with your best interests in mind. So as you hear what the Bible says to you about you, some of your greatest questions that you've been carrying for many, many years, some of those longings that you've had in your heart will come to surface and will find clarity. The Bible's personal. The Bible's also prophetic. It speaks to history, past, present, and future. It shows us where we are today and where we're headed tomorrow. It shows us where mankind has been and answers so many questions about what God is up to today and what he is up to tomorrow. It speaks to the future. There's great warning, there's great invitation, and there's great warning for those who are followers of Christ and for those who are not. And the hearing of the word of God is personal, it's prophetic, and the word of God is also a pointer. It points us in the direction of how to find our way always to God, and it will always point us in the direction of loving our neighbor. It'll point us in a certain direction. And that's a good direction of which to be a follower of Christ. So in closing, Story Sunday, your story, your Bible. If you had to put a name on things today, if you were being asked to apply the parable today, what would you say? Hard path, rocky path, thorny path, good ground. Whatever your answer, I invite us all as a Living Waters community to today be hearers of God's word, which is personal, prophetic, and it points us in a direction. Let's be hearers of God's word, and as we do, cultivate good ground. Cultivate good ground. So perhaps my closing song, my closing challenge is not read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Perhaps it's better applied this way. Hear your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. God bless you this week as you are a hearer and an obeyer of God's good word.